Good day to Lee Tabor. Lee, Stowe Speaks welcomes you and with appreciation for your sharing your time and your memories of a lifetime here in Stowe. Or was it a lifetime? When did you come to Stowe, Lee?
I came to Stowe in 1942. I was a construction worker. We built a new bridge there, going to uptown 108. It's the bridge now that it's over by the the old Mount Mansfield garage there. T.J. Harvey Construction Company was the construction company.
Was that a Stowe company?
No, it was. I think T.J. Harvey was out of Massachusetts.
Oh my goodness!
He had a contract to build this bridge here, and also the bridge at the foot of Harlow Hill, that cement bridge there. Of course, it was wartime, the draft was on, and the able-bodied people were getting kind of scarce, and so that's why we could get jobs. We were waiting to be drafted into the service.
So then you had an interim when you went away and did your war service.
1943, August of 1943, I was inducted into the Naval Service of the United States. And I was sent to Camp Perry, Virginia for training at what they call the Seabees, which was their construction battalions, and stevedore battalions that would handle cargo, build roads, airstrips, and depots, because we were going into the Pacific, and there was none of these facilities and so the United States had to build these facilities as we needed them. That's where we were. We were Pearl Harbor, and then we went left there for the Marshall invasions. We went down to the Ellis Islands, which is just down below the Gilberts. And we closed down that place, and we then moved to Guadalcanal. Ooh. And we went up through the slot up to what they call the Green Islands, which is a bunch of islands up by Bergenville, which is the Northern Solomons. And New Zealand, 2nd New Zealand Infantry Division had invaded that with some help from the 2nd Marine Division. And we went in there and built airstrips because they wanted to bomb Rabaul, which was the main Japanese base, and to keep that neutralized so they couldn't use it as a jumping off spot to invade Australia. While we was there, the 2nd Marine Division invaded New Britain Island, which was another island in the Solomons, and we were attached with them. We stayed in Green Island until latter part of 1944, when we went to Hollandia, New Guinea, to prepare for the invasion of the Philippines. We had to build the bases there. And one little aside, in the Green Islands, Pappy Boyington and the Black Sheep Squadron, they flew out of there. We serviced that. And Colonel Boyington was shot down in Rabaul Harbor, off and out our base. And we spent 2 days trying to get him out, but they couldn't. And so the Admiral called off the search because the Japanese had a reward on Boyington's head, $10,000. They never knew they had him as a prisoner. He gave them a false name, and they sent him to Japan, where he worked in the coal mines. They never knew they had the man until after the war. So
Well, I guess you saw enough of the Pacific. And then you decided to come back to Stowe?
Come back to Stowe, yes. I married and I said.
You found the call of the Green Mountains.
1946, we settled down here in Stowe, and except for one interim period for a year and 14 months when I went back to my hometown of Swamp because my father was ill. And after he passed away, I went back to Stowe, and I worked locally, and then I went in the post office in 1960.
The Stowe Post Office?
The Stowe Post Office, yes. That was, at that time, it was located in the Memorial Building, and I think we were here just two or three months, and then we moved down at the corner of Park.
Where the old Shaw Mansion used to be?
That right side of it there, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We were there, and then the Union Bank bought the Shaw Mansion, and they moved it, or tore it down, I guess it was. And then
They tore it down.
They built it, but that's where we was for.
Well, you must have gotten to know the local people very well, being there at the post office.
Yes, at that time, of course, the locals that were here, and then as the newer people that came in, of course, we met them all because they had wanted their mail delivered, and you know, so they had to come into the post office. So, yes, at one time I knew about everybody in Stowe, but I don't anymore since I got out of the post office.
Right. Well, I don't think anybody knows everybody in Stowe anymore.
No.
And when did you retire from the post office?
I retired, let's see, 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
And what have you been doing during your retirement?
Well, I got pretty involved. Of course, my wife was ill when I first retired, and so I was busy taking care of her until she died. And I got involved with the veterans organizations, American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and I drove the disabled veterans van from based up in Morrisville to White River Junction, taking veterans down to Veterans Hospital for about 10 years.
Is the veterans organization still active? Do young veterans join?
The younger veterans are very hesitant. I don't know why they don't join. They seem to think that the benefits the government's offered them is carved in stone, but they want to remember what government gave us, that government can take us away too, and they usually do. They'll cut your benefits.
Right.
And it's very hard. It's very hard to get them because they're not so committed to service as the old time veterans were. And we're finding it very hard, and the day will come, unless they join with us, if they'll lose the Veterans Hospital in White River Junction, they'll move it. And it'll be tough for a lot of people. They have to drive to Boston and Albany, New York, which will be the closest ones after that. So they ought to join with us, and you know, because you have to have political clout to hang on to these benefits. And if you don't have that political clout, right now Vermont's congressional delegation, there's not a veteran in a bunch. They know none of them have served in the military. No, they know nothing about the military.
Right. Of course, the attitude towards service has changed.
Changed, yes.
There's attitude toward country and attitude.
That's right. It's too bad because we have a lot of programs for scholarships, but we're finding it very hard to get into the high schools to present these, you know, to inform the students.
And why is this? Why?
Well, I think it's a natural. Your teachers today are not, I don't think, patriotic. They're more of a, I think they're teaching them in college more now, a worldwide society. In other words, you'll be a tribesman in Nairobi or one of the Pacific Islanders. I have no problem with that at all, but I don't think that people want to go back to that level of standard of living. You walk, believe me, you walk. You don't ride in new cars, you walk. And so I don't think they're quite ready, but I mean, there's an imbalance there. But I think it, your schools, and I think it falls back to your school boards, not to keeping an eye on what subjects are. I mean, good heavens, you look at your history. They don't teach history anymore, hardly at all now.
Is that so?
That's
really?
Right. And I mean, the youngsters coming out of school today, Kathy, they can read, but do they understand what they're reading? You and I, you know, I mean, when we went to school, you read it, and then you had to make a book report, so the teacher knew that what you read, you absorbed. And, but today, I don't think they do that. A basic education, I don't think. And it's too bad, because the veterans, we try to have these scholarships to educate the youth of our country and give them a chance to go to college with these scholarships, but they just don't seem to push our programs at all.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So,